Do you want to level up as a remote voice actor? You want to get the lowdown on what you need to do? How? Where? Well, have a listen to this. Hello, how do? Sarah Golden here, and we're going to be looking at remote voice acting today. And no, you don't have to be stuck in the middle of nowhere to do it. You can be in the middle of hundreds of thousands of people in a small, tiny flat in the middle of
Copenhagen, St. Ives, Melbourne, Moscow, Yorkshire, Milwaukee, recording in your lovely little cupboard with your lovely blankets and duvet, or maybe from your little duvet fort.
Do Milwaukee have flats? I don't know. And yes, I am prevalently a remote voice actor. Been to a studio a couple of times, very exciting, obviously. But mostly my studio is under this duvet. Hello, duvet. With a little foam round surround with my SSE 2200 Mark C mic, its lead. And behind me a trifold screen, very professional. And this is where the magic happens. Not that magic. Although, no. If you're just starting in this and you're not quite sure, you know, what the programs you should be looking into are, what people might ask you to do, well, hopefully this will give you a massive insight into various ways of working. So, you have got the role. Huzzahs! Kalu kale, you jump around in excitement and up and down.
Now, I want to talk to you about a little pre-prep. Pre-preparation. Because if you just jump in and do your script, I think you're doing not just yourself a disservice, but everybody working on the production. I think it's lazy and you shouldn't do it. So, really important, like especially if you do have a bigger role in something, I think you do owe it to yourself to treat it like you would a theatrical production or a film or a spot of the bill on the telly. So, pre-prep, key things. Number one, read the whole script. Oh, please do that. I think that's the least you owe to the writer and the whole production team. There are people who do just read their own bits. Reading your own bits ain't nice. So, yeah, just read the whole script. It's very easy. I mean, unless it's terrible and you've made a bad decision, then you should enjoy reading the whole script. And yeah, okay, there might be some bad scripts out there, man, including mine that I've written. But, you know, I can't think of anything else to say about that. So, pre-prep, go through your script, make notes on your character. Okay, I just open up notes on my iPad and tap a little few things down regards to their attitude, their accent, moments perhaps where I need to focus up the pace, slow the pace, you know, just basic things. Also, reactions to specific characters might be good. So, yeah, mark up your script then. So you can pop your script, however it's been sent to you in Google Drive or via email or your own private Dropbox, you lucky little thing. Someone cares about you. Some people do love to colour code your scripts as well. I love those people. It's like, I'm in red. I can find myself so easy when I have to record. So pre-prep. Find your lines. Now, sometimes I go through meticulously, take my lines out only if I'm only in like 3 scenes out of 10. Put them in another document and I have them all there in one thing rather than having to scroll from what seems like millennia sometimes to find your next line. So do that as a pre-prep so it makes your recording process that little bit more streamlined. So marking up your script. Mark in when you should be pausing. Mark in if you should be reacting in some way. So those gasps and those undercutting like, no, what? Whatever it might be. That was so theatrical in my reactions. But, you know, whatever you're going to put in, mark them on your script. And also just think about changes of pace, changes of attitude, changes of emotion. Mark anything down that's a really good, easy thing for you to read. Now, I start to colour code certain things in my scripts so I would know when I was about to get more angry or more sassy. So, yeah, so think about what works for you and your way of doing things just to break down that eye-reading process so much. I mean, I know David Alt spoke a while ago on a podcast, I think it was with me on the audio drama production podcast to do with voice acting, and he said he didn't want to read ahead, he didn't want to know what's happening next because then when he performed it, he would be reacting as that character would. So there's that style of thought. I can't go with that. I think it's cool to have that prep and deeper understanding of the character from my perspective. Not saying he's wrong, because David Arp, man, he's amazing. But yeah, I couldn't wear that. So yeah, so getting to know the, you know, through line of action, which is a Stanislavski term for those of you who do a bit of acting studying. Yeah, and just thinking about where your character's going and those underlying emotions that might perhaps affect how they're feeling, performing inside and out at the same time. So you've got your inner tempo rhythms and your outer tempo rhythms. And sometimes those can be very different, what you're showing and what you're feeling. And to try and convey that in voice, well, good luck. So pre-prep, read the script, mark up your script, and actually spend some time with it. And if you can, get a chance to, you know, pre-read through with anybody who's involved in those scenes, then do that. It's not a problem if you're able to give time to it, because, yes, a lot of them are unpaid and this is your time and your time is precious. But if you get a chance to do that, then it can only hone you even more. I felt especially this work with something like the Amelia project that I did with the wonderful Fiona Thrale opposite me. We were playing what can only be described as truly efficient, inefficient thieves and burglar heist types. It's very exciting. I absolutely adored doing that. I'd love more like that. If you've got any of that in your back pocket, please. And yeah, we toed and froed a lot on Skype, actually, just because we wanted to get it right for our wonderful producers, who were supreme in every way, communication-wise and script development-wise, and us as characters. It really gave us a chance to have a good playing. So yeah, we toed and froed a lot. We're trying to find the right accents together. And obviously with a dynamic like that, you want to kind of have them bouncing off each other. So it is that key thing of, like, you know, if you do put the work in, then hopefully you'll reap the rewards of people liking more what you've done, rather than it actually sounding like you are reading the script. Which does happen too often, don't you find? Maybe I've been guilty of it too. Tell me if I have. I never get feedback, so feel free to tell me if I'm just awful. I will just cry and carry on doing it. So there. And anything you're not certain of, please just ask your producer, director, or however the team dynamic works, because sometimes you're just dealing with one producer who does everything, and obviously sometimes there is that luxury lad of director in place, plus you've got your casting producers and your musical undertones who dance on your door and lick to sound effects till you're dead or some such. I don't know what that means. But yeah, use the dynamics, the hierarchy of your whatever production you're in to communicate any questions. Because, you know, you've got one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow this opportunity. Comes once in a lifetime. I just made that up. Can I be done now? Oh, goodness. And there are a number of ways that producers work from this point. I'm going to kind of go up in a level of coolness and goodness, okay? So worst case scenario is you get your script and you just get on with it. You don't get any other direction. You're basically told probably a line about your character and you have to set up and do everything else yourself. You direct yourself, you edit your work, you obviously record yourself looking at all your levels and trying desperately to control the perhaps huge range of things you're going to have to do in a short while. And we'll talk about that in a bit more detail towards the end.
Oh, and don't forget your room tone. You know, the basics are that if your producer is chopping and cutting and editing things, they'll need to replace some moments with the room tone ambience of your recording space. So some people ask for it at the beginning, so leave at least a minute. Or I put mine at the end, because then I can just get straight into the recording. I do it at the end, and if they've asked for it at the beginning, I chop it, edit it, and place it gently at the front if that's what they want. But yeah, otherwise it is at the end, and just go and sit down and relax for a moment and listen to the room just doing its roomy thing. Just so then it helps out your producer that you've got at least a minute. Some people want more than that. So again, that might be something to just check. How much room tone do you want at the end of my recording? Thank you very much. And it goes without saying that before you do your session, drink water, stretch, exercise, yawn, do some of the mad sass exercises. If you're a patron, you've had these wonderful mad sass exercise sessions. If you want to become a Patreon, please do. I'm excited to say I have gained another one. Thank you, Michael. And I cannot tell you when that message pops up about somebody who is donating to the creation of all the things I want to create. My heart is filled with soul happy vibes. I can't tell you. So thank you to every single person who has donated. I know most of you are active in the audio drama community. And those of you I don't know, I hope you're enjoying this. Thank you. Thank you so much. It kind of makes it better. All the hours of my life I put into this kind of thing. Like any creative, really. So thanks.
Essentially, you are going to have to make character decisions, what accent to go with. I feel the onus is on you in that case, unfortunately, to directly contact your producer if you're not quite sure. Don't be afraid to, because, you know, they want the best show as well. So, say that I have got an old woman character. I would then ping off to the producer perhaps 2-3 choices of accent, because you know I like an accent, right? To the director, just to hone it from my perspective, saying, these are the ones I kind of like. Which one do you prefer? And go from there. Just so that you've then got that in point for finding that particular role. And it's also about pacing, you know, because as a remote actor, you're probably hugely aware of this, but you don't often get to listen back to people who you're acting with. So you need to get the pace right of things, which is kind of ridiculous if you think about it. You're going to do it in your own way. So just do ask the director or producer these questions. Number one, what attitude, what style of character are they really after? What kind of pace to the character do they see? Is it someone who's feisty? Get them to give you some words to explain. Are they, you know, slow? Are they a bit simple? Are they astute? Are they fussy?
Or am I doing something physical? Am I fighting? Yes, I love a fight. Fights on an audio drama are very exciting to do. Did you listen to Winnebago Warrior Theories 2, episode 5, I think it was? Anyway, are you cooking? Are you mixing? Are you running? Are you, do you know what I mean? You need the physical exertion things behind what you're doing as well, so you can't be running away from something and not be running when you're doing the words. So, yeah, so make notes on physical exertion and things that will obviously change the strain or the emotion or the impact of your voice and your breath and how fast and quick or slow that comes, as it were. And of course, the greatest of great dynamics between you and the other actors, which is obviously key. It's not all about you, is it? Is it? No, it's not. It's not all about you.
So, you know, just try and get as much as you can out of your producer, because potentially they might well have written it, and if not, they will ask, obviously, the writer's point of view, unless it's Shakespeare or somebody who's no longer with us. Amen. So currently, with the worst-case scenario producer, you do a lot of the legwork to find the best thing, and you want to be good too, right? Because this is going to be potentially part of your showreel, potentially you on show as a voice, as a character that you provide. So that's the worst case scenario. Second kind of step up from that is you get the role, woohoo, and you get a call, a individual call with the producer that either is probably come from them, which is exciting. I'm sure you can ask for one if it's not set up, if it's not like just two lines, I suppose. And in that, I had one, for example, with the lovely, amazing, cannot praise him enough, Austin Beach of Winnebago Warrior and 100 million other things that are in progression at the moment. And he talked to me about Lizzie. He sent me some YouTube links. If you haven't heard her, Lizzie is like, oh my, I've even forgotten how to do her. And so we talked about the type of Southern Belle she was, how sassy she was. And we didn't want to go this way with her. We wanted to go more with this kind of style. And I felt like I really had a better idea of where I was heading with her. And also got the script, so I didn't just get one, I got, you know, several, so I could kind of build a bigger picture as to how much sass she would have So it's really also about, yes, trying to get as much of that progression information. If you are a recurring character or if you are in a season of shows, it would be brilliant if you can get the full season. But I know because I'm doing it too. There are people who just are writing and catching up with themselves and writing and catching up. So that might not be possible, but you can at least find out the arc of things, the potential intention for your character with that producer. And questions to ask in that kind of scenario would be, similarly, attitudes, give me some descriptions. Are there any hit points of emotions that you really want to bring to the fore? Are there any things that you think need to be highlighted or attacked with a certain amount of humour? Because, you know, we all read things differently, don't we? And I think I am absolutely terrible at over-egging any pudding. I don't know if you noticed. And I love to kind of, yeah, overindulge in things, whereas other people kind of might not read that line in the same way. I guess that's why we're all different actors, isn't it, Sarah? Yes, of course it is. But given that chance to speak to a producer is very key. And it might not just be, you know, 5 minutes. And I have to throw in at this point time zones. As a remote actor, you need to get online and get a decent conversion thing, because I have had a few problems with daylight saving time and Canada, America, Hong Kong, all everywhere. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of time difference between the Pacific West Coast and Britain, where I am. Similarly, Hong Kong, there's a lot of difference. So it's important to really try and work out sensibly and have that dialogue. Now, where do you have that dialogue? Now, most of my work, bizarrely, has been through Facebook, which I know is for the over 35s. it seems that a lot of my work that I hunt is on there. Or hunted, I kind of lucky enough to not audition so much anymore. But Facebook Messenger has been a lot of the easiest ways of communicating with people. If you're not on that, I suggest you get on and do jump on. There's audio drama auditions. There's the Facebook group for the Audio Drama Production Podcast,
which has now just recently, I must add, changed to the Audio Drama Hub. Give you an extra little cuddle. It does the same thing, it just is not associated so much with the podcast for reasons I am still flummoxed by. Anyway, please jump on there and join in if you're not already. There are producers, editors, composers, voice actors, and all in between, mixers, sound designers. Oh gosh, there's a plethora of amazing people who can offer up advice and... you know, listen to some of it, listen to all of it, take what you want. They're lovely. Go on, jump in.
If you haven't heard of them, there's also Discord. People like to chat on that and create channels for their characters, so you can be chatting and have discussions about your character development on there with producers and the other actors in the team. You can have your director, producer chivying you along, saying, right, the deadline is here. Make sure you get me your lines, please, kind of thing. Similarly, Slack, there's a 1994 podcast Slack, What's the Frequency Slack, and Minecraft? Minefield Slack. I should get on that Minecraft. And they're invariably useful. I'd like to talk about another way of doing things, which was with the wonderful Toro Smiley, who basically I got role of Starla. I've forgotten how she talks now. Some went characters in my head. Oh, yeah, she's like, relax, guys, yeah, you'll be fine. And as soon as I got the role, there was a Slack group which gave us information about deadlines for things. Toro was updating us regards to trailers. He would put scripts on there for us to all access really easily and have that central focus point to come to together to get that information. And as an actor, I felt it was really cool to get to know a little bit as well about the other actors within the team. Being the Brit involved in such a wonderful production, I was perhaps there at different hours to them. but no, I just think, you know, getting that communication for your team, for being part of that team as an actor, is so lovely. So do that if you can be what's the word? If you can be bothered. So on that Slack, Toro also set up episode locked discussions. And on those discussions, we also then fathomed when we were going to all talk together. Now, we used Skype to do that. And I will cite this probably forever, that it's one of those Skype sessions where I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning reading Starla lines, so I sounded so spaced out. I cannot tell you. And I loved doing that. I basically did just want to hang out with those folks and chat. It was like a party on the phone, but with no alcohol at 4 in the morning. And so we did a read through, and Toro would give us a few pointers regards to the character's attitudes, if he liked it, and if he, you know, wanted to tweak anything or suggest a kind of a change in attitude or pace somewhere, he could inject that into. So I found that really, really useful. So do check and ask your producer, is there a way we can all like meet as a team? Yeah, I think community is so important. I've said this, you know, that's why I do the things I do, I suppose. Okay, so other way of doing things. Had a really good go with Mr. Steve of Cardinal from Oral Traditions. We did Pied Piper. And again, he had cast members all over the world, including the wondrous Kessie in Germany and David Carlson. There were so many brilliant people in that. Boyd Barrett. You should listen if you haven't already. It's a lovely story. Play it for your kids. And I played that with not having talked to anyone about the character kind of style. So I hadn't played a Sarah voice or myself voice for ever. So it was kind of hard to put that one forward. And we had a little play with the dynamics of the older character that I played, the grandmother there as well. And it's trying to make the right decisions for things, isn't it? I would hope that a producer would say to you, if what you've chosen isn't quite right, would work with you to create what they wanted more, to hone it. This is my fear. When I listen back to some things, I just think, that didn't sound quite good. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just what you do in life, isn't it? You always tear yourself apart. But, yeah, I just think don't be afraid to ask a director, ping them messages after you've done these wonderful group sessions, just to assuage any worries about where you're going with the character. You know, communicate. I think that's the main thing I've got to say here, is communicate. And whether that be on Slack, Discord, on Facebook, on Twitter. I have asked for jobs on Twitter by just pinging somebody and going, yeah, I really like this. If you need anyone, I'd love to jump in and play. So the hope is that you will get a chance to A, go read through a table read with your other characters, and B, get that feedback and information from the director of the piece. Now, I recently did something for a show called Valenhai, which is a mythical audio drama. It's written by the wonderful Steve Schneider and Robert Cudmore. And Robert jumped on Skype with Fiona and I, who were playing two witches. This amuses me. And the old groans of audio drama, aren't we, Fiona? Anyway, we went through the script a couple of times and read through a couple of times. And Robert gave such brilliant direction, and he was picking up on, can you try it like this? That's my impression of doing this. This is my impression of Robert, who I adore. It sounds more like, what's that name of that guy who does the leisure centres? Forgotten his name. Duncan Bannatyne. Doesn't sound like him either, Sarah. Shut up. Anyway, it was brilliant to just have that feedback, because you don't get it very often. All too often, you are just left with the script. You know who you are, what accent you're doing, and you get on with it. But to give that attitude, that change in what kind of mood you want. And I think in the end, who was it he wanted me to be? He wanted me to be a cross between, I can't remember, but it was something as diverse mixture for this one character as Barbara Windsor, Gollum, and I don't know, Janet Street Porter. Do you know what I mean? It was a kind of a ridiculous mix of wonderful characters that he pitched. But it kind of did give me, it stretched my brain to try and think, okay, all right, I've got somewhere else to head other than my decision making. I love that. So make the most of those sessions you get with people. Ask questions. If you're not sure, if you've got a tricky bit of dialogue that, you know, is meant to be kind of raging, then ask questions about attitude and volume. Ask questions about pace. Ask questions about your reacting. And, of course, ask questions about the greatest of great dynamics between you and the other actors, which is obviously key. It's not all about you, is it? Is it? No, it's not. It's not all about you. This is the other difficult thing, yeah. Reacting sounds. Now, I sometimes give them. I don't always, actually, now. Because I suppose it's difficult for directors, producers to make the time to put those in. Unless you've got real time, you know. I mean, I have done table reads that have been recorded and used as a kind of final read because then you've got that natural sound behind your character's reaction to what someone else is doing or saying. But when you're remote acting and you've just got the script and someone else is like talking for maybe, you know, paragraph or two, but you still would be there reacting and grunting or like, yeah, uh-huh, no, sheesh. Then, you know, it kind of makes things more natural sounding if you have got some reaction sounds. And it is one of my bugbears with audio drama as it is that it is very much, you speak, he speaks, you speak, he speaks. And Breathless is something that I did the first dialogue pass edit on that, and then the wondrous Ella Watts finalised it and made it groovy. But I was adamant that the pace of that was dictated by the overlapping dialogue of the characters, and they had recorded remotely, and I was taking bits out of the end of Tanya's recording and the beginning of Hem's recording and putting them together with just breaths and reactions and like laughter and oh my god, and because I didn't get that when they read the script as it was written, if that makes sense. So if you've got a creative producer, then do give them some reaction sounds and things that you think would go under. Now, how you give them that is a quagmire. Either that you're, as I have done before, this both these ways, as you're reading the script, give the gasps, the reactions in the time as you read the script down. But obviously, as you're reading it down, that's not going to match up probably at all with the person who has actually provided the lines. Now, some brilliant producers are going to be able to ping you the lines of the other person you're talking to because they've done theirs first. And you can then play that and react off that. Yes, if that's possible, brilliant. I've only done that once, but it truly helps because then you've just basically, it is, you've got them in your ear, pretty much that version of, and you can play off them and have that more natural sounding dialogue rather than he speaks, she speaks, they speak, he speaks, he speaks, you know? So think about reaction noises. And the other thing is how you do it. Now, some people ask for two takes of every line. Now, how you do that is up to you. I mix and match, I must say. Mostly, I do three versions of the same line. If they ask for two, I do two. But I generally mostly do three versions of the same line. First two being obviously very different to each other. And the third one kind of being a bit more flamboyant. So I might, with the third attempt, add some more improvisation to it. If that makes any sense, I might give it, you know, an extra breath or gasp or line or add some more comedy into it. I think prime example of that is Drunk Helen. And a lot of the time, Matthew, not a lot of the time, I'm lying, not a lot of the time, sometimes, Matthew would write, improvise, whatever happens here. So I would have free rein to have a little play and see what came from my brain. But I think having two takes definitely as a kind of, you know, this could both be equally good first choices for any producer. And the third one kind of having an extra wildness to it works. Some people prefer to just do each line and go down the script. once and then go to the top again and do that and go to the top again. So they do that three times. So they're doing the whole script through three times. But my general rule of thumb for most things I've done is if I have a lot to do, I go through, do three takes of each line, and then I do, for flow, the whole thing through one more time. Now that sounds like probably a lot for a producer to have to wade through. But, you know, I think from what I've heard and the feedback I've got, it gives them options, and options is good. Obviously, too many options is mental. I know some people send like 15 takes of a line and you're like, God, that must hurt your brain if you've got that many choices to make. I mean, I think, you know, 2-3, that's enough, I think. So be selective. Another way I've worked, which I really enjoyed and I hope happens more, is having the great John Bell in my ear. Like, oh my God. And another time, having the great Zachary Fortas-Gum in my ear, the same ear. It's been so well treated, that ear. Imagine. Zachary and John. I can highly recommend having the person that's directing you in your ear and or the person that is acting with you in your ear, and you both record your own sides on your own individual doors in your own individual spaces. It can be done. So with John Bell, for example, he was actually acting in the piece with me, but also directing us both, because he is so awesome. And I was playing, what was her name? Madame LeGamp. And she was like so emotional. I cannot tell you. And oh my God, she was very much in need of attention. So John would also just hone my performance that little bit, because you know, you need reining in. I feel like I'm not reined in enough sometimes. Rein me in. Because I am self-directing, so I'm going to do what I think is right. But maybe what I think when I'm not able to listen to myself is not quite right. So yes, having a director in your ear is amazing. And so John was able to do that and trying to eke some more emotion out of me, eke some more overperformance and overacting out of me. I know that's so tough. I know. Oh. But similarly, Zachary Fortas-Gum is the producer, director, amazing guru of goodness behind the Orphans podcast, which I, again, absolutely adore. Going to be performing live at the Podcast UK in the 2nd of February 2019. So do come if you can. Birmingham, 10 o'clock all day. I'm doing a voice acting workshop. I probably mentioned that at some point in this podcast again. Anyway, so Zachary was directing and he read the other lines opposite me and just again was able to just get me to hone things a little bit and say, can you take all the time you want on this. You know, he was asking me to like slow things down a little bit, because that's the other thing, I think, with pace. You can be too slow or too fast. So yeah, he was like, you want to sell the power of this character, and by doing things slower, it accentuates the power. So simple things like that, just advice that you can get when you can't hear yourself, perhaps, or you'll go happily, merrily going on your way, and it's just not quite right. And obviously he'd worked with the other actors too, so he knows what he'd got out of them. So directors, producers, if you're listening out there, if you can, like, you know, get a little voice in your actors' ears just to help them hone their performances, then I think that's mighty useful all around. And I want to come to you editing now. So my current mode of choice is still into Audacity, because I'm quicker at it. If I've got tight deadlines, and I often do, I can just quickly whip it off. Whereas Reaper, I'm still learning and I feel a lot less confident about. So currently in Audacity, I would 100% recommend you having your laptop being visible so that you can just slant your eyes down or up or wherever you're going to have it, to just to keep an eye on your levels. Now, I've been really bad at developing this skill and have only really recently become a lot more adept at playing with the proximity of me to the mic and the volume coming out of me and also that monitoring of where I'm going. And one top tip I would be is that if there is a section where you have got a range of emotions, I think don't do that in the big mix of things all at once. Do that as a separate thing, and really then you can either learn what you've got to say or become very familiar with what you've got to say, so that you can change your proximity to the mic, so that you're not spiking, you're not clipping, you're not causing the director a coronary when they see red marks across your recording.
because there's only so much they can do with distortion, which is what's going to happen if you have too many clips and spikes on your work.
And if you need to, don't be afraid to play with your gain. Again and again. Yeah, just play with the gain. Can't say it in any more less words. Oh my gosh. But yeah, you understand. The gain on your interface can make a difference. I actually got a FET head popped in to my microphone. I'm so lucky. It was a grand idea and just makes a difference to the whole microphone to interface loss. It injects a bit of gain into there. I don't know the tech. You'll have to ask somebody that's clever. But yeah, it makes less hiss. Ta-da! That's the technical information you're going to get today.
So it's up to you to get to know that skill, unfortunately, as a remote actor, another string to your bow, as they say. So have your laptop or whatever you're recording on in front of you, keep monitoring those levels. And if you see it does spike, obviously the wonderful thing about being a voice actor and recording is you can just start again. And you don't have to stop anything, you just keep going, and you just basically make an extra few more minutes for yourself in the edit. Now, the next Mediva episode coming up looks at mic technique, and I talk about this a bit more in that, so I'm not going to now, but it is very much a question of just really getting to learn what your mic does. So spend some time with your mic, maybe a nice cup of tea, or a pint of your choice, and yeah, just do different things. Do shouting, do screaming, do whispering. And just see what works best for your mic that you've got and how it comes out on your screen. You know, it's like take that as your training hour, perhaps every couple of weeks, just to keep yourself thinking about your art. Because what I'm annoyed about is people who think voice actors do just turn up and do it. I think those people that do that, yeah. But I think, you know, it is a craft. And if you want to get better at it and get better things, then you need to practice it like anybody else. And it's not like, you know, community theatre people who are just churning out the same type of performance each time. You know, check your range. Change things. Practice your Irish on your microphone and play it back. Practice your different American accents. See what happens when you read the same piece over and over. Just get a short bit of text and read it in, I don't know, your Ronald Reagan voice, your Maggie Thatcher. I'm just thinking spitting image characters, to be honest. You won't know spitting image, maybe, if you're American. It's very good. Just look it up. They should bring it back. I'd love to do a voice on that. Don't know who that was. But yeah, just doing things like that, recording a short bit of script different ways and looking at what it does on your screen, looking at your proximity to the mic, changing that. Do it all screaming if you want and see where you can move in your booth to make that effective. What you have to do to, you know, get that range so that you're like shouting for someone, hey, come over here, 1 minute, and you're, hey, come over here, another. So it's just about playing with your understanding of the equipment in front of you and how you, in proximity to it, can be the best you can be. Now, editing. I'd say at the beginning of your recording to any producer, do currently just put your name and the character you're playing, just so they can check they're on the right one, because you might be playing multiple roles as well, yes, in the same thing, and then get to work. Now, hopefully your producer will have communicated to you whether they want MP3, WAV, AIF files. And if not, ask. Okay, it's very simple. Just ask. And whether they want 192 kbps, whether they want 44-100. So just basically ask them, what do you want for all your tech specs? And I will provide. So once you know that, you basically have that time to hone your takes. Now, if you wanted to, and you have done, let's say you've done 5 takes per line, you can go out and choose your best 3 and send the best 3. I don't think sending, you know, 15 takes of a line is useful unless a director or producer said they want that. I just think it's too much for them. You know, they've got potentially another, I don't know, 2 to 20 million characters to look through. They don't want to wade through so many takes. So your editing time is key. Don't mess it. It's what you're selling. Your final project you're sending to somebody is got to be the best quality. So if you're listening back to it and it's really hissy and really tinny, send a sample to the producer. Say, look, this is how it's come out. Is this okay? And if it's not, you have to rectify it. Only you can do that. If it is okay, brilliant. You've got someone who can work magic. I know sometimes I've had quite roomy recordings. For example, you know, Britain gets cold in the winter and like many other places. And the central heating hum is like, So I can take that out at that point with things that I had. So other people were like, oh, it's fine, I'll deal with it. And others were like, no, can you get rid of that, please? And therefore my journey into RX6 began. But yes, editing. We will do a fine-tuning of editing session for Medieva Podcast with someone who knows what they're talking about next season. I've got such an exciting lineup of voice actors for you to talk to as well. So hopefully you'll get the lowdown from their perspective, not just mine. But yeah, you know, you're finalising this project. It is your performance that, you know, you're on stage. And if you're not happy sending it, if the quality of it isn't any good, then what does that say about you? So, yeah, really think about listening really intently through earbuds, through headphones, through just listen to it out loud. Do you pick something else out? So listen to your things through a couple of times. If you're worth your salt, if you can be bothered, just because then you really get an idea that what you're sending is the very best you can send, right? And to de-hiss, to de-hum, to denoise, all of these, check with your producer. One thing I would really strongly suggest that you do is save the raw file of all your finally edited takes before you do any cleaning, because some cleaning takes off some good layers of sound that some producers want. So please check with your producer. Do you want me to de-click, de-hum, denoise, whatever? If they say no, don't touch it. Save them the hassle of having to undo all the things that you destroy and just send them the raw file. But if they have asked you to do that denoising, etc., then do that and get competent at it. You'll see it does strip away some elements of your beautiful dulcet tones. And I guess if you've done too much, it just sounds that bit more tinny. So just be careful. If you don't know what you're doing, leave it to the producer. Leave it to the experts and practice. That's all I can say, just practice. You know, nobody's going to come round your house and give you a lesson on it unless you've paid them lots of money. You can look online for things, and I think more and more will be coming out. But, you know, it's down to you. So practice what it does. Read up on what denoising does to your voice. Listen to the difference. See if you can spot it. But again, you see, this is me saying you're not just a voice actor, you're an editor. Well, you are. At the moment, if you want to get work all over the place and answer all calls for all auditions, which I highly recommend, by the way, then just you're going to need to get a little bit more proficient at this kind of thing. Don't be scared by it, though, okay? Because there are a trillion, billion, trillion videos and experts. Ask on the ADPP Forum of Joy, yes?
Which is now the Audio Drama Hub, as you know.
Ask people, ask on other wonderful platforms for audio drama. There are Reaper and Audacity and Hindenburg and Fruity Loops websites and chat groups and forums for you to go and ask those kind of questions and get some help. So don't feel like, it's a big wall, I can't do this, I'm going to back away into the corner. Don't feel like that. Okay, you can get help, man. Help is out there for you. So yeah. As a remote actor, you have many, many hats on you. You're producing really your own best work to hopefully fit in with what that producer wants. Now, potentials are you might miss some lines. Guilty, I've done that once or twice. It's very naughty and slappy, slappy, slap. But, you know, you just need to record it in as best same conditions as you did the first lot as you possibly can. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because you need to archive. Oh, please archive. Producers, you know, this isn't potentially their job, right? They're doing this alongside 50 billion T other things and family and a cigar business, and they're drawing comics for things. They're just busy, busy people. And so they might not get to actually putting together your lines. Say you've done it July 2014. They might not actually produce it till September 2018 because life, you know? So I know it sounds crazy, but you will need to keep those files somewhere archived. I pop mine on a memory stick and everything is on there, so I don't lose that ever. Put it on a hard drive too, if you're more sensible, which is what I need to do if you do a lot, which I do. But yeah, archive. I had someone, oh my gosh, it was like 3 years after I'd done this military Irish type, and she was like kick-ass, and I liked doing her. But he asked me for it, and I could not find it. I could not remember what I'd called it. And that's key, right? Make sure you call your files something sensible so you can find them all the time. Now, sometimes I just use the initials of a programme if it's really long, like, say, Winnebago Warrior, The Tale of John Wainaby. You know, I don't want to write WWT, blah, blah, blah. So WW is my starting point for Winnebago Warrior. I then put the lowline dash underscore, whatever it's called. Then the season and the episode. So I do S1E5. So then I know that, right? So then if Austin did for any reason come back saying, oh, I just want to get a section out of season 1, episode 5 of your raw files, can you ping it to me? I will know where to find it by just typing S1E5 into my search engine. So I've done WW underscore S1E5 underscore, and I do Lizzie Lines underscore S Golding 1 if I've done the first take, S Golding 2 if it's take 2, and so on and so forth. So that's the general format I do. So show, initials, season, episode, name of the character, my name, and then I hopefully can find where they are. But anyway, yes, it's really key to archive. Please do. Okay, don't just, when you've done a project, chuck it, because it might well be needed, and potentially you might need it to collate some things for your reels if you're not able to afford to go and see someone like the amazing Kirsty to do it for you. And talking of having had the right labelling on your files as you save them, sending them. Now, as a remote actor, obviously, if you're doing a massive mammoth script, you're going to have a huge amount of data which probably won't fit in an email. Most of my stuff I ping onto Dropbox and then send a link from there. That seems to be the easiest. But a lot of people I work with use WeTransfer as well. So have a little look at that. You know, it's something I can't really talk in further detail on here, but it's basically you just upload the file onto WeTransfer and that then sends the link to somebody efficiently. So those are my main two ways of working. If you use other ways, oh, please let me know. I would love to share them. Maybe there's new technology I don't know about. I would love to keep on top of what's happening. So if you find out stuff that you think's relevant to voice actors, I've got a SpeakPipe account and I'll put the address in the show notes. And essentially, you can just do it from your phone, your tablet, and ping me a message. It's a vocal message. I think you have 90 seconds to fit your message in. So maybe do a couple if it's a long message. But essentially, if you've got anything to say, or you have a question, or you want to make a point about something I've said and done already in these podcasts, I would love to include you in this program. So ping it and I will sing it. No, ping it and I'll pop it on here if it's useful and if it's relevant and if I think you're truly marvellous. Now, there's the crazy quagmire that is social media. I'm on that a bit. I run 4 accounts at the minute, which is a bit mental, on Twitter. I have the forum on Audio Drama Production Podcast, which is now the Audio Drama Hub, as you know, which I'm still active on. I love that forum. And okay, it has its pitches and troughs, but mostly pitches. I love the discussions mostly that happen on there. And thank you for all your brilliant questions and contributions to that. We're going to do a branding episode very soon. I keep saying we're going to do these episodes, but we are. They're all. I've lined them up. I've written them down. Who's doing them with me? Branding is so key. And you as an actor need to be out there. On your main picture profile, put your headshot. Try to keep, as Joe Lidster said last week, try to keep it business and pleasure. So you're not just like, I did this job, I did this job, I did this job. I did just show personality in your Twitter account. If you've got access to other Discords and Tumblrs and Reddits, just ping your stuff out to where you can get it. Get known as somebody doing stuff. I would say it's polite as well if you've enjoyed something, not to fawn, but to say, I really loved that episode of Uncanny County. Brilliant.
Just amazing.
Kudos. Good stuff. When do you cast the next season? No, I keep doing that. I keep undercutting it with, like, I want a job. But essentially, that is what you need to do because you are your job hunter. Yes, jobs will come to you. That does happen. And I've had that, which is wonderful. But a lot of the time, it is about, like, proactivity. And you got to be in the hunt to win, right? So get out there. Look on at Audio Auditions on Twitter. Check out the Voice Acting Club. Check out Casting Call Club. Check out Behind the Voice Actors. I said this on another thing, but just go and do that. And there you'll hunt and find your wonderful potential jobs too. That aren't just audio drama, which is a shame. But, you know, needs must. You need to be practicing your skills in whatever forum you can find. And if that means you're doing voices for fan fiction, that's fine. I know not everybody likes it. And cease and desist might happen. And you'll lose all of your work, which has happened, which is sad. But practice. Practice, practice, practice. So that you can be the best you can be. So I think those are the general things I wanted to cover with you today. Firstly, what to expect regards to what you do when you've got that audition. And trying to hone those characters. And again, we'll be talking to Tori Smiley and Kareem Crumfley at different points of next season about creating characters in more detail. But just as a remote actor, what to expect regards to things you can use. Now, one program I've also used is Source Elements Now. Source Connect Now is a brilliant program where you can link to everybody everywhere in the world that wants to be on the call. I think it's about 8 people. I don't think there's a limit as to who can record because you're just basically recording yourselves. But I've used that for a couple of things to record on. And essentially, it records your files, unless like me, you found the only bug in the world, onto their system, which then you can then download yourself and then ping off to the other producers as they need. So the brilliant thing about that is you can have like 8 to 10 people all recording their lines and you'll have the reactions and so it's like you're in a live recording space, but you're just not together. You're all over the world. The quality of it is generally good, I would say. I also did a backup at that point on my Audacity stream. So I had that as a backup. And yeah, I feel always have a backup is key as well. So if you're doing a Skype recording, if you do that kind of thing, then make sure that you've got your local recorder going too, just so that if there are any problems on the producer's end, you have something to say, oh, well, actually, I did it on my computer. Can I ping that? That'll be good quality. Google Hangouts I've also done some work on. So that, again, enables you. And that was the Pied Piper, actually, with Steve Cardinal I was talking about earlier. Enables you to have video and to connect with, again, people all over the world as long as they've got that Google account set up. Quality of recording on there, not so brilliant, so I recorded that to my home setup. And finally, the other that I've used, two things. One is Zoom. We used that for the table reads I did with the 11th Hour teams for Wolpertinger and Breathless. And there we could all see each other, which is quite fun. It was wonderful having 14 ladies, I think, involved in that those two wonderful shows. If you haven't heard those, please do jump on them. It's 11th Hour Audio on Spreaker. Just have a little look. See, I'll put the links in the show notes. Kudos to the ladies involved in that. You're all amazing. So the final thing I want to mention was join me. Now, I did some virtual pub sessions with the Audio Drama Production podcast, where essentially the host could share their television, their computer screens with people watching. So we had Casey Rayland and Lauren Shippen and the amazing Fred Greenhalgh as well, all giving their amazing insights and information over a live feed. And participants were able to participate, to join in, ask questions as well. So it costs per month, but I thought it was quite a cool thing as well. So join me is another thing to potentially look at. So you've got Skype, Facebook, Slack, Google Hangouts, Source Connect Now, Discord, Zoom, Join Me, and there are, I'm sure, some others I've forgotten. Because I have worked on lots. I did a list the other day, and I think it's been over 50-something roles this year. There's possibly some I've forgotten. But I really have enjoyed doing these wonderful characters, and I hope... Well, seeing as this is my Christmas episode for 2018, I do hope this has been a good year for you. I must admit, I'm looking forward more to 2019. Because of amazing things like the UK Podfest. Are you going? Oh, please go. I think it's going to be the biggest party day we've ever seen for audio drama. I know there's going to be live shows from the hilariously fabulous Victoriosity and We Fix Space Junk. And did you hear that? I enjoyed doing that. Thank you for that part, Beth. And No Sleep and The Orphans. And there will also be some brilliant panels, so go and see those, including, oh, hooray, finally, I get to meet Matthew McLean and Robert, I've met before, Robert Cornwell, coming down to do a Scottish podcast panel. So don't miss that. I think that'd be awesome. As well as Mediva Podcast are doing a voice acting workshop. So if you want to come and say hello, do. And we can chat all things voice acting, and hopefully you can tell me all about the amazing things you've done, and hopefully how Mediva might have helped you a ickle bit, because otherwise what's the point in me talking at this mic under this duvet when I could be wrapping presents for my children? Anyway, and of course if you're US-based, then jump into PodCon 2. The revenge is happening in Seattle, and I know there's an amazing plethora of fantastic people going there. I'm so jealous. So yes, everyone from Station Blue, White Vault, Bright Sessions, Wooden Overcoats. Oh my goodness, there's so many different people being represented there. What's the frequency? Greater Boston, Marsfall. I can't name you all. I can't think of any more right now. But there's so many people who are absolutely astounding. Girl in Space going, and I just think you're going to have a whale of a time, Albus Alex. So enjoy all that Podfests can offer and network, and say hello to those faces in front of the voices you love are gone. I sincerely hope that your festive season is full of joy, fun and happiness, and I really appreciate my Patreons especially. I hope you get an extra special big wish, a hug and a kiss over Christmas, and I'm sending you all a big cuddle through the microphone. Thank you for listening. There's three more parts to this season, all coming at ya like a freight train in the rain after Christmas. So let me know your thoughts and questions about remote acting. What else do you need to know? What have I missed? If you think of anything that might benefit other people who might also think of the same question but be too shy to ask, just let me know. I would love to be useful like that. The other thing I want to talk about is just your self-care. You know, a lot of the time you're doing this alongside a trillion other things, and whew, some weeks you're up perhaps till 1-2 in the morning doing recording or getting up. I know Fiona Thrale, amazing, she's amazing, gets up at stupid o'clock to record and do all the things she does. So, you know, make sure you do take a little bit of time for yourself, okay, please? Because this perpetual life cycle thing, it can take its toll if you're not looking after yourself. And obviously your voice is your asset. And staying up to all hours, not drinking enough, not eating well, not having time to actually think, you know, go for a walk. Take a moment to enjoy this beautiful planet call a friend. You know, if you're isolated, doing all this remote stuff, people don't call each other enough. I think some of my friends think because they can hear me on something, they've talked to me, but they haven't. There's not a complaint. Well, it is actually. Friends call me. But doing naughty things, I feel like having a bath in the day. I do that. I'm trying to keep on top of all the other paperwork of stuff. And I'll talk about the business of voice acting next time. Obviously, having set up Quirky Voices as my business account, I am still yet to mount the quagmire of last year's tax accounts. I want to cry already. But yeah, we'll go into that another time. So there are so many things as a remote actor you need to be your business head, your producer head, your editor head, your social media head, and most importantly, in a way, your voice acting head, the one that made you want to do this in the first place. Look after all of those people, and good luck with your next audition, folks. Let me know how you're doing. I'd love to know if this has been useful. Merry Christmas and a happy, amazingly full of brilliant roles for you, 2019. Ta-ta! The trailer today is one of my favourite. That is? I bet you can't guess what it's for, can you? No? Excuse me, pardon me. So this next podcast is one I absolutely revel in whenever a script comes in my little inbox, and we all like a little script in our inbox, don't we, ladies and gents? Yes, sorry about that. That was Helen, she started to take over. Scottish podcast. I need not really introduce it much more other than it's a superb, fun, naughty, sweary, Scottishy podcast of joy. It's written by Rod Cudmore and Matthew McLean, who started the Audiorama production podcast. As far as I'm concerned, are gods. So yeah, enjoy. You bunch of...
My name's Lee Power. I'm a radio personality, podcaster, and paranormal investigator. And in this short promotional trailer, I'd like you to imagine yourself walking through a dark, dungeon-like chamber. Water drips from the ceiling and pools on the floor. Rats scurry around your feet. And there's an overwhelming smell of decay in the air. And as you step up to the urinal and unbutton your flies, you think to yourself, these really are the worst pub toilets I've ever seen. A Scottish podcast, Scotland's finest dramatised horror podcast. Find us at scottishpodcast.com.